Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. We are here in Life Vision Month, 2019 Life Vision Month, loving Life Vision Month, and we're here with a bonus episode for this month with a very special guest today. She is an expert on passion and self-love. She's a speaker and an author and so many things. Janet Atwood is with us. How are you doing today, Janet?
I am so good. Just really
great.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. I'm so excited to talk about your self-love work. I'm excited to talk about everything. Let's start with, if you don't mind, for the listeners, a little bit of your background. Just tell us about yourself. Tell us about your work and passion. Just give us a little intro.
Okay, a little intro. Well, right now, my passion is to train rock stars. And what I mean by that is that I've been doing this work for over 25 years now. And where I am right now is I've trained over 3,600 passion test facilitators in over 65 countries. And so what I realized in the last year was that what I really wanted to do, because I have been traveling, Jordan, so much that I won't be home until 9 months. I've been going to China and Japan and Europe,
jeez,
and US.
It's like tours.
Yeah. Because there's such a high demand all over the world for people to be able to figure out what is their passion. And the passion test is the number one tool. And then also China, I've been teaching my Mastery of Self-Love program in different parts of Asia and Europe and the US. And China has asked now for it to be in every city. So I'm like training trainers like crazy, because my desire and my passion, I got to tell you right now, I'm in Koh Samui, Thailand. I'm giving my master trainer program here to some Chinese and Thais. And there is nothing more fulfilling than to be able to see their light go on when they realize that all the problems that exist in their world live in their mind. And when they start to get that, I really get excited. So this is my passion. And when they start to realize that they are powerful and that, yes, I can do this, then I just like, oh my God, I could do this forever. And I'm like really serious. I mean, I have the most cool life right now. I travel all over the world.
That's awesome.
I have friends all over the world. I mean, really seriously, not just friends, but great friends. And it wasn't always that way. I mean, when I was young, God, I had so many things happen to me and so much trauma. And when I was little, I had the best relationship with my mom. And then about 7 years old, she became an alcoholic. And I would say that was the first crack in my heart.
Oh.
And from there, it was like life just kind of was one big trauma experience until I started to get into this work. Yeah, you know, I've been in a real corporate job in the past. I'm actually more corporate than I am this, which is really interesting. I used to manage the third largest marketing division for the third largest book company in the world. And we sold to Reader's Digest for about $360 million. And from there, I got invited to be partners with two really top transformational leaders, Robert Allen and Mark Victor Hansen. And that's when my world really started. I did some work with Harv Eker for a while, helping him create alliances. I was Byron Katie, who has an incredible program called The Work, her marketing director.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I traveled extensively around the world with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi of the Transcendental Meditation Movement.
Wow.
And so I've had a lot of past, right? Which I'm really glad about, because I have a range from here to here. So when I'm sitting in the room with my trainers, I feel like, you know what? I've really earned the right. I really know how to give them the tools that they need in order for them to really feel empowered to go out and live their dream. So there's a little bit about me.
That's incredible. That brings up a lot. You co-authored The Passion Test, best-selling book, really incredible stuff. I mean, there's so much I want to touch on in what you just said. To start, really quickly, before we jump into all your expertise, you know, I talk to so many people in the personal development field, and a lot of them tend to be recently telling me about their work in Asia. Do you feel like there's a little bit of a personal development, like, I don't want to say a boom, but like a little trend going on in Asia?
Well, you know, I absolutely do. I mean, I just decided, because I had been in the U.S. for so long, I just set my intention, and I am really good at setting my intention and getting what I want. I set my intention to live in Europe, so then I did. And then I set, I presently have a home in Lago Maggiore overlooking this beautiful lake in Italy that I rarely see, but love it when I get there. And from there, I went, God, I really want to open up Asia. And what was so cool was that they're little sponges. I mean, what's cool about Asians is that they really have a desire to really learn. And the other thing that's cool about them is that they actually, you know, use immediately the different tools that I share with them. And so what's great for a trainer, and that's probably why so many are coming to Asia, is that we get to actually see results really quickly. And that's why we do the work that we do. You know, we're all of us, what is our desire but to see other people be able to live their dream?
Yes. Yes, that's a beautiful thought. I think that that's definitely the high-minded approach there. What have you learned talking to so many people about their passions? I'm sure big and small, I'm sure all sorts of varieties. What have you learned about humans, about happiness, about passion, doing all this work?
You have the best questions. Well, each of us have a unique purpose in life. You're welcome. You know, I've really seen it. All of us are unique. We are all unique. That's what the cool thing is about all of us. And at the same time, we all share a common purpose, which is to serve each other. And what I see is that we're all irresistibly pulled to search for that meaning in our lives because we all have a unique role to play in the world. And I like to tell my students, I say, look, living a passionate life is not even personal. It's what we're here to do. It's our job. You know, we're part and parcel of what is called the unified field. And each of us have a specific role to play in order for this experience to be in flow, like nature. And when we're out of flow, we feel it. And so I've learned that we all have a unique purpose in life. And at the same time, you know, when we're not living that purpose, what's going on? You know, you feel depressed, you feel sad, you feel worthless, you feel like, I hate my day. And what I love about the passion test is that your passions are the clues to discover that purpose. And I define passions as the things that you love and care about most in life, because when you're doing those things and when you connect to those things, you feel passionate and you feel like, God, my life is on fire. And I always tell my students, it's not an accident that you love the things you love. The universe doesn't play tricks. And the things that you love most, those things will lead you to do things that will give meaning to your life and allow you to contribute maximum to the people and world around you. And when your life is not connected to those passions, you're going to suffer. Mm-hmm. And so the passion test is just a really simple, easy way for anyone. It's a number one tool, Jordan, being used all over the world to help people really discover the things so they can align their life with what is most meaningful to them. And that's when everything gets really super fun.
Absolutely. I love that. I'm right there with you. Do you feel, before we wrap it up and move on to self-love, do you feel that people can pick up the expectations of others, pick up the just everyone else's baggage and feedback? And is that kind of what we've prioritized over finding our unique, you know, genetic or whatever it is, spiritual purpose?
I'm not really getting your question. Can you do it again?
What I'm thinking is people so often don't understand what their true purpose in life is. And I think that they don't have a lot of time to think about what that is because they've devoted so much stuff to other people's expectations, you know, go to high school, get good grades, go on to college, you know, get the wife and the kid and the dog, whatever that expectation is, become party boy Dan Bilzerian. It's other people's stuff. Whereas where the real enlightenment is, it seems to me, is finding your own true purpose, doing that inner work and finding your passion, not someone else's.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're ever too late to tell you the truth. And what we say in the passion test is that your passions are like breadcrumbs that lead you onto the path of your destiny. Your passions, when you start to ask yourself, and what do we forget to do? We forget to ask ourselves, what do I love? What do I care about? And when you start giving orders to yourself, hey, tell me what I'm here to do. Guess what? You'll start to get it. You'll start to have those wheels turning.
Oh, I like that.
And the people and the places and the things will start to show up. So everyone listening, I mean, the simple thing that you can do is start to ask yourself the first question that we have people ask when they're starting to take the passion test. And that's simply, when my life is ideal, I am. When my life is ideal, I am. And then think about the areas of your life that are important. Health, career, spirituality, fun, your relationships, your environment. Where do you live? You know, I just got really clear because clarity is power. It's all about clarity. And only reason that everybody is on this hamster wheel, and so many people are, is because they haven't stopped to step out of their busy life and ask themselves, what is it that matters most to me? And when you start to ask yourself, then all of a sudden what you'll find is like the reticular activation process, the people, places, and the things will start to show up immediately. So what you put your attention on grows stronger in your life. So start by just asking yourself, when my life is ideal, I am. And if you can't figure it out, if it's not coming, then simply ask yourself, what do I never want to have happen in my life again? You know, say you've been physically abused. And what would the opposite of that be? When my life is ideal, I am in a committed, trusting, loving relationship. You know, just start. You've got to start. And this thing about, I mean, talk about Asia and listening to their parents. And there's so much unhappiness because of that.
Right.
And these students that I have, I mean, I'm serious, you know, in Japan, and I'm on my way there next week. Number one suicide rate in the world in teens. Why? Because they feel like they can't level up to where their parents want them to be. And that they don't even want to be where their parents want them to be. And they don't know how to say, my life matters. I'm enough. And that leads me right to self-love.
Mm. Talk to me about self-love. Talk to me about your new program. Just talk to me about this whole concept of, I love how you put that, by the way. That was so poignant. But yeah, let's move on to self-love. What can you tell us?
Well, after training more than 3,500 passion test facilitators in more than 65 countries and seeing more than 1 million people go through the passion test process, God, what I saw was it was kind of a bummer at first. I realized that even after discovering their passions, many people couldn't make their passions the priority in their life. And I'm like, what the heck? And I thought, well, why aren't they? And it became really clear. Well, they don't love themselves enough. And so what do? They continue to be their miserable self. And every human life is so structured so that when you're following your passions and connecting with the things that you care about, your life feels really super on fire. It feels fulfilling. And when you're not, and you guys listening, and if you're not living your passion, you know how it feels. It sucks. It feels miserable. You don't even want to get out of bed. It's like, I hate my life. And you ask yourself, you know, the same question these kids that commit suicide in Japan ask, like, what's the point? Why am I even here? So I began teaching people the tools I've used to overcome these internal blocks. And when I say the tools I've used, you know, I had so many limiting beliefs when I was young. God, I used to throw up before I'd get on stage. So I started sharing with others, you know, what did I use to love myself deeply so that they could enjoy the same kind of blossoming of life that I experienced? And so my program, my Mastery of Self-Love program, you know, it's just a beautiful 4 days where people really go very, very deep and learn that they have no mistakes in their life. And this is a big thing. No mistakes. You tell that to an Asian, there are no mistakes in your life. Everything was supposed to happen. How do you know it was supposed to happen as it happened? It did. And then each one of us are powerful. How do you know? Look at your life. If it's not working for you, that's the life that you've been playing over and over and over in your mind. And if it's working for you, congratulations. That's a life that you've been playing over and over and over in your mind. So I share with them all of these tools to really start to understand that it's not just a cliche, every moment is a gift, but every moment truly is a gift when you're seeing the world as it is instead of through your judgmental eyes. And when you're really seeing you as you are, you know, self-love really truly is about all about you just being okay with you, being okay with you. Mm-hmm. And that's all of you, man. That means, you know, if your arms are out of shape, you know, you're not the buff person that you want to be, that you're not out beating yourself up because about it, because that means it takes longer for you to get in gear and do the exercise program if that's what you want to do. But it's about self-acceptance and really deep self-acceptance with, you know, who I am is enough. I don't need to be morphed. I don't need to be fixed. And when you don't love yourself, then what do? You deny your own worth. You don't think you can do the things you yearn to do. You don't allow others to love or support you because you don't think you're worthy. You're afraid to take the risk in life that each of us needs to do to discover the incredible person that we are. And so people who don't have self-love, what do? They find themselves stuck in these dead-end jobs. They're only living from paycheck to paycheck and relationships that have lost their juice going through the motions of life.
Totally.
But not truly living life. You know, I teach people how to say no. You know, how often, Jordan, and think about you. I don't know what you're like because we just got on, but you know, how many times in your life have you said yes when you meant no?
Oh my gosh, it's the human condition.
No, well, that's what we think. That's what we say. It's the human condition, but it's not. You see, we came into this world when we first came in, we were like, yeah, I'm in. You know, we were loved. That was
good point. It was society's condition. What was it?
Oh, no, wait a minute. So let me tell you, because I think I have I think I have my finger on the pulse of that. Okay, yeah, we came in, we were excited, we were happy, you know, we're like, yeah, I'm here. And then what happened? Life happened. And what does life do? Life tests us. And so some of us, maybe when we were young, we were physically abused. So what do? We layer over our heart to protect ourselves. And then we wonder, why am I not feeling? Why can I not connect as well as some people? You know, others might have been in an accident, boom, you know, layer. Other people had parents that said, you're not good enough. You're not wise enough. What did we do? Boom. Now, it wasn't anyone's fault about that. We can't blame anyone outside of us because our parents had their parents who did the same thing and their parents had their parents. So we've got to stop that, you know, that talk that we're saying, you know, it was their fault. It was, you know, it's the world's fault. No, it's nobody's fault. It's just what is now. Now, what do you need to do? You need to learn to undo your limiting beliefs. You need to practice different tools that will help you to come home to who you truly are. And that is love. Love is who we are. That is our nature. But because of all the stress that we've had in our life, what happened was when we, you know, when you're a little kid and your teacher says, hey, you know what? Really, this happened to me. You really think you could be an actress? No way. Forget it. But, you know, you're a little kid. You know, what happened to me? Man, boom, big old hairy layer. So what is our job now? Our job is to come back to our nature. And if you could read a book to do that, it would be really super great. Tell me that book because I'd love to read it. But what I found is that it's deep, deep work to undo these limiting beliefs. And so I use processes like self-inquiry to really understand what are the limiting beliefs that you're rolling over in your mind over and over again. I do this process called inner critic to help people find out, you know, what is that voice that you're saying to yourself over and over and over again that creates the sabotage in your life that happens because you're constantly saying something like, I'm not good enough. I'm not rich enough. I'll never make it, you know, okay. And you have to find what I call your self-love mantra. What is that? That's the opposite of that limiting belief that you're always saying, because, you know, your world is as you are. And if you're constantly saying something to yourself that's a negative, the mind is like a computer and it goes, yep, okay, get it, got it, good. I'm organizing that.
Totally.
I'm organizing the people, the places, and the things to show you, yes, you're right, you are that. So it's time for all of us to come home. It's time for us to come home to our nature, which is pure love, and to realize that, you know, all the different lessons in your life that you've gone through, all the things that you feel were mistakes, you know, there's no mistake. Jordan, let me give you some evidence. Have you ever made a mistake?
Yes.
Have you ever learned from that mistake?
Yes.
Well, why is it called a mistake then?
That's a great question.
If you've learned from it, because life is here to grow, life is here to learn. And, you know, my Japanese people or my Chinese people or Thais, they sit in my room when I'm in Asia and they try to be their perfect self, you know, and they try to hide all this stuff. And I say to them, you guys, if you didn't have the challenges that you had, you probably wouldn't even be here learning how to help others to be able to love themselves more. Every single breath brought you to where you are right now. You can't miss a breath. You're not able to miss a breath. Well, the same way, you're not able to miss what we or whoever called mistake a mistake. I think that was the mistake.
You know, there's something we say at Lifebook, Janet, which is the big question is, did you grow? People talk about things that happened in their lives. They lost a job, you know, broken relationship. Lost this, lost that. The question is, did you grow? Did you grow from it? Because if the answer is yes, then it was a win. It wasn't a loss.
Well, there you go.
That's very similar.
No, it's absolutely the same. And I love that because, you know, when people start to realize that, hey, it's okay to fail because you're not failing. You had to have that moment in order to get it better. Oh my God. You know, you can just see it in the room. You just see people just start to shed all of this heavy energy and their eyes get brighter, you know? And so that's why I say, you know, it's all about self-acceptance. It's all about really starting to understand who you really are instead of the story that you've been telling yourself from the story that some other broken person told you.
That's exactly right. I was just going to ask you, do you see remarkable transformation in these people who are probably very evolved in all these areas of their lives, but may have neglected this one emotional, facet that's directed towards themselves? Do you see amazing, incredible transformation in these people?
Let me just give you one of them. And I could give you about 20 of them or 30 or 40 or 50, but let me give you one specific one that I just love to talk about. I have a master trainer named Heidi, and Heidi lives in Denmark. She's actually from Finland. And when she first came to my program, she would sit in the back of the room. She's gorgeous, physically a 10, you know, one of those beautiful Scandinavians, right? She's just like awesome looking. And, but Heidi never said a word. And she always like was real, you know, really fragile and delicate. And, you know, one day I said, hey, Heidi, you know, I need you to, today I'd like you to tell a little story about yourself, share something, you know? And in that moment, and I said, I just want you to find something you've never shared. And through the different processes like that one and inner critic and, you know, undoing your limiting beliefs, Heidi got up and she said, you know, when I was 17, and she's now in her 40s, she said, I had a boyfriend and I was physically abused by him and he used to beat me. And I never have told anyone since now. And she said, and you know, it was just, and nobody could believe it because she's just so beautiful and beautiful inside out. And I mean, the whole room was just one big tear. And she said, you know, I thought I deserved that. I hated myself so much. So after all of the tools and processes and techniques that she learned from Mastery of Self-Love, Heidi, after, oh my God, it was after about 6 months, I had her come with me to Sweden and assisted a program. And it was a big program. And afterwards, they asked me to come back and do two back-to-backs for 100 people. And I said, well, that's a little small right now. I think I'll send one of my trainers. And I just had this thought, no, I think I'll send Haiti. She'd never done anything like that. She got up and she rocked it. She killed it. She killed it so much. One of the women ran a millionaire club in Denmark, and she called Haiti up and said, now I'd like you to come to Denmark and do the same thing. Now Haiti is the head of my Scandinavian movement in mastery of self-love and passion test. And her whole life took, you know, a 360 turn. I mean, she is just, you'd never ever know, Jordan, you'd never know in a million years that she used to be afraid to stand up in front of people, because now she's all over Europe sharing your passion, sharing about mastery of self-love, and sharing her story.
It's incredible. It's totally incredible. And I think that, you know, we're all on that journey. We're just in different places. And I like what you said earlier, which is it's never too late. That's a question that we get a lot, you know, is it too late for me? And I like that your opinion that it's never too late. So I feel you. And I am glad that there are people out there helping others along this journey.
Oh, thank you, honey.
It's really lovely to talk to you. We've already like gone off script. We've covered a lot of the questions, though, so I'm going to jump around a little bit. I want to talk to you. Actually, something that you said, a word you used early in this interview, this idea of selfishness versus self-love. You know, selfishness has a negative connotation. My question to you is selfishness always bad? And how can we balance this kind of, traditional societal view of selfishness with self-care and self-love?
You know, this is such a good question. I love this question. You know, there's a great misunderstanding around this idea. And from my perspective, selfishness is doing things that are in your interest at the cost of someone else. But choosing in favor of your passions, and everyone needs to really hear this, choosing in favor of your passions is about doing what is not only in your interest, but in the interest of everyone else as well. Now, let me give you an example that happened yesterday.
Please.
So I'm in my room, I'm training all of these trainers, and one of my trainers comes late. And the course had just started, and he's sitting outside. And I'm noticing that he's not coming in, and he's not coming in. He's sitting there, and he's looking at his iPhone. And he's really a cool guy. His name is P, and he came with his wife, Mo. And I said, I went outside and said, hey, P, what's going on? You know, why don't you want to come into the room? And he, and I sat him down, and I said, you know, it really looks to me like you don't want to be here, honey. And you know, that's okay with me. I want for you what you want for you. I want you to really be able to have your dream come true. And I knew he didn't want to come. And I knew he didn't want to come before he signed up. And he looked at me and he goes, Janet, I didn't want to come. And I said, well, honey, did you come because Mo, that's his wife, did you come because Mo asked you to come? And he said, yes. And she knew I didn't want to come even before we came, but I came. And I said, and did you come because you were afraid she'd leave you? And he said, I did. And I said, oh, honey. And I took him into the room and I got his wife. And I said, Mo, I want to have a talk with, I want you guys to have a talk here. I said, I need P to tell you something. And I said, P, you know, the only way you're going to be empowered is when you're able to say, I love you, Mo, and I love me.
Oh.
I love you, Mo. I love you, Mo, so much that, you know, I would do anything for you because you're just my goddess. And I love me too. And what I really need right now is to be back in our hometown making money and doing my computer. And that's what I really love. And this is your passion. And it was so sweet. And I said, Mo.
That is sweet.
Yeah, but it gets deeper. I said, and so what happened to P when he said that? I love you and I love me. All of a sudden, you could see Mr. Power come back into the room before this guy who felt like, you know, a wilted,
dejected.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm worthless. I'm out of my power. I'm not doing the things I love. I'm not deserving, right? And I said, Mo, I said, Mo, did you know that P didn't want to come? And she said, I did. You know, and I said, well, let me tell you, when you do that, when you try to get him and manipulate him to come, you're not able to love yourself. I said, because every time you do that, you're knowing inside of you, oh my God, I manipulated him. I forced him. I coerced him. I said, and you're not giving him the opportunity, and you're not giving yourself the opportunity to really know if you guys should even be together, because out of fear, you're forcing him to be there. You know, so with P choosing in favor of his passion and doing what he loved to do, everybody got to win, because all of a sudden Mo got to win because she now got to grow and learn how to not be afraid. So when you follow your passion, everybody wins. Everybody wins, and only 100% of the time. 100% of the time. And here's here's the flip side. When you're not doing what's best for you, everybody loses. And what's best for you is to follow that path of passion, doing the things you care about most, doing the things that you love. Because why? I said it earlier, Jordan, the universe doesn't play tricks. It's not a mistake that you love what you love. So again, choosing in favor of your passions is about doing what is not only in your interest, but in the interest of everyone else as well. So how was P choosing in favor of Mo's interest? He was choosing in favor of her being able to be the best Mo she possibly could be. And I realize it may not always seem that way, but this is my experience. You know, another example, a mother may really want to design clothes, but she thinks that she can't because she has three young children to care for. And while she undoubtedly loves those children, you know, a lot, if she denies herself something that's really important to her, then she's going to get irritable with her kids and maybe blow up at them sometimes or be short-tempered because what? A part of her feels resentful that her kids are keeping him, you know, keeping her from something that she really wants to do.
So true.
Right? But if she, so all of a sudden the kid comes in, hi mom, love you, God, right? But if she arranges for her kids to be cared for some of the time and give herself time to pursue her passion for designing those clothes, then instead of a resentful, irritable mother, her kids get to be with a happy, fulfilled mother. Now, what is that mom doing? Well, she's mirroring, you know, how to live a passionate life to her kids. Is this mother being selfish? Not at all. She's giving her children a model of a mother who lives a passionate life. And what could be more important for all of us?
Exactly. I'm right there with you. And, you know, it's kind of another example of you can't really give from an empty cup. We understand that in a financial sense, but we need to understand that in a spiritual and energetic sense too, you know, kind of like securely fasten your breathing mask before helping those around you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's beautifully said.
How can we work on our own self-love? Do you have any practical strategies, anything you'd like to share with the audience to try to help us work on our relationship with ourselves, if you will?
Oh, God, absolutely. So here, I'll give you one for passion and then I'll give you one for self-love. How's that?
Perfect.
And they both intertwine, I got to tell you. So here's the one for passion. So for all of you, when you're thinking about what it is that you're most passionate about, say your career, your relationships, your spirituality, whatever, what I ask you is to not try to figure out the how. Not try to figure out the how. The how is how the heck is this going to happen? You want to just figure out the what. The what is, what do you love? What do you care about? What turns you on? What lights your fire? Again, I've said it now three times. The universe doesn't play tricks. It's not a mistake that you love what you love. So get, you know, living a passionate life is about living in your integrity. So how do you live in your integrity and how do you grow in power? You go, this is what I care about. This is what matters to me. And what happens when you figure out the what? then the people, the places, the things start to show up. So here's the passion test formula. It's simply intention, attention, no tension. Intention first, number one, get clear. How do you get clear? Clarity is power. You get clear by taking the passion test. Why not? It's the number one tool being used all over the world to get super clear on the things that matter most to you. And then once you figure out what you're passionate about, then put your powerful attention. So this is the attention, the intention, attention part on what it is that you choose to create. Now, what do most people do, Jordan? Most people put their attention on what they don't want to have happen instead of what they do. This is kind of like a
Yeah, that's the good
point. I mean,
point.
There was a recent Gallup survey that said that, you know, 80% of working population in the world, 2.2 billion people in the world wake up every morning, right? Not happy, not fulfilled, not passionate about what they do. So how do you get out of that rat race? How do you jump out of that? You get super clear and then you start to create the world you choose to create by putting your powerful attention on your passions, the things that matter most to you. In the passion test, we have you come up with your top five passions because, you know, any more than that, science has found that the mind has too much going on and you can't focus clearly. And remember, it's
oh, no, you're talking to the wrong guy.
Yeah, no,
that's totally like me. That's a really good point you just made there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Years ago, we worked with these neuroscientists from the University of Pennsylvania that found that the mind can only contain 5 to 7 pieces of information.
Wow.
So if you're finding that your life is not like hitting bullseye, that your life is not about flow, take the passion test because then consider it, Jordan. If you were living your top five passions, what would your world be like? What would your life be like?
It's quite amazing. I feel like I'm pretty close and I know that feeling. I'm not completely stepping into it like some of the people, honestly, some of the people I've been speaking with this month, like yourself, but I know that feeling and it is truly, it is exhilarating is the only word that can describe it.
Exactly. So, you know, what you put your attention on grows stronger in your life. And to the extent that you're clear, what you choose to have show up in your life will, and only to the extent that you're clear. So you really want to get that clarity when you're setting your passions. And then what do you want to do? You want to focus like a samurai, you know, like just like kaboom, these are my five. And then, you know, the secret to living a passionate life, whenever you're faced with a decision, a choice, or an opportunity, choose in favor of your passion. What do mm-hmm. most people do? They choose in favor of, you know, what their wife wants, what their husband wants, what other people think they should want. Because why? Because we've been talking about that. Because they don't have trust in themselves enough. They don't have that self-love that they need in order to do that. But, you know, living a passionate life helps to grow in that. It's not the totality, but every time you choose, if you become like a samurai and keep choosing in favor of your passions and say, hey, I love you and I love me and this is what I care about. This is what matters most to me. What you will find is you will feel so empowered and so powerful. So choose the world you know, put your attention on what you choose to create, not what you don't choose to create. And then take massive action. It's not enough to just go, you know, I'm a Olympic skier. No.
Right.
You know, you got to take action, man. You got to, hey, you don't know how to ski, take training, right? And get on that diet that you need. You know what I mean? Whatever you need to do to get the Olympic medal, but you got to do whatever it takes. And there's some icky. Now I'm going to talk about this because most people think, oh, if I live my passion, everything will be cool. But, you know, there's some icky work in between. And the icky work is, you know, you've heard it from Olympians, you know, they gave up some stuff, some parties, some drinking, some social life to really focus, to be the master that they are.
Sure.
And yet, ask them if they thought it was worth it when they were at the podium getting that gold medal.
I don't think any of them have said, oh, no, you know, I wish I could have enjoyed that fifth Budweiser.
I know, man, I'm so bummed out. I've got this Olympic gold medal and I'm going to be taken care of for the rest of my life, you know, with all kinds of endorsements, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, the last step of the formula is intention, attention, no tension. No tension is the last step. So what does that mean? That means that after you've taken all the action you know to take, then you've got to let go. You've got to let go. Because why? Because if you ever strain to try to get something done, when you do that, it's like stepping on a hose filled with water and kaboom, no more water comes out. Same with energy, right? So right. You've got to be able to move in flow. So after you've done all you know to do, surrender and let go. And then you'll notice they're in that surrendered place. That's the whiteboard. That's the world of all possibilities. That's where the people and the places and the things start to show up. So you can live that very, very cool life. So that's for your passion. Okay, so self-love, very simple. You can practice this beautiful saying, I want for you what you want for you. I want for you what you want for you. You know, when you practice this beautiful, I call it my mantra. I wrote a whole book on I want for you what I want for you.
I love it.
And it's all about, you know, we all say we love people, and yet it's so conditional. So first, I want for me what I want for me, and I want for you what you want for you. So it's practicing I love you and I love me, just like P and Mo did, and really starting to stop for a moment and ask yourself, and this is all about self-love. When your girlfriend comes at you, Jordan, and she, or your wife, I don't know if you're married, and she says, honey, you know, you want to go live your passion. You're going to go, I don't know, what do you love to do? Tennis, what? Surf, what? Anything?
You have no idea. Podcasting and poker. Those are probably my top two.
Okay. So if you have a poker night and you're going to be with all the guys and you're so psyched, and then, you know, your girlfriend comes, right? And she says, sweetheart, I love you so much. You know, could you please, you know, I know you have your poker game, but can you please not play this time because I want to go see my family and you know how much I love you to be there, blah, blah, blah. And what do we do? What do we do? It's like, oh my God, I want her to love me and I don't want to upset her and I actually don't want her wrath when I say no, right? So, because that's the biggest fear, that you won't be loved.
True.
For everybody's mantra should be, it's a Byron Katie quote, God spare me from the desire to seek love, approval, or appreciation. Because that's what really is, you know, the grabber that keeps us stuck. You know, when we want everybody's love, approval, or appreciation, we don't want ours first, then we're, you know, then it sucks. So here's what you do.
That's a good point.
In that situation, if that happens ever, you just stop for a moment. You take a deep breath in and you remember the mantra, I love you and I love me. And I want for you what you want for you. I want for me what I want for me. Right. And so think, you know, honey, you know, I love you so much. And you know how when I go and I play and get to play with my friends and I get to do poker a bit, I am so like high when I get home. Well, you know, could we meet? Here's what I want to do. I want to go to my passion, go live my passion, go play my poker game. And then let's schedule a different time when we can be together, because I will be so filled up with love and I'll just pour it all over you when I'm living my passion.
Oh, I like that.
And you
that.
Know, when I say no to the things that matter most to me, I'm resentful and I'm not even with you when we're together. So, you know, there you have it.
I like that.
Yeah. And it's practicing, you know, truly, truly. And both couples, if they can get together, and is practicing I want for you, you want for you, man, that is a big one.
That is, that is a big one, because, Janet, honestly, that's a hard thing to express in a relationship on the fly with no coaching, just with your feelings. You know what I mean? Like, the script that you just gave is actually a really useful tool, because when you're in that moment and you're just trying to navigate it yourself, you have all the things you want to say, but you don't want to say them, and sometimes they're emotional things, so maybe you shouldn't say them, and you should think, and then you compromise, and like you said, you're not there all the way. Like, yeah, that's a really good point, because this is a hard thing to express, which is, this is something I want and it's important to me. That can be hard in a relationship. So I like that script that you gave them.
Yeah, if it's only about you, but remember, when you communicate clearly, remember, everyone wins when
it's
you're
about us, right?
It's about us, honey. You know how stoked I am and so excited I am and filled up with love when I get to do the things that I really love. I'm pouring that over you. And when I
don't,
when I say yes and I mean no, then I am so resentful and I'm like, why am I even here? And that makes so much sense to people because, you know, here, really, truly, all everyone really wants is to know that they're loved. So when you can sandwich it with, I love you so much. And because I love you, here's what I'd love to have happen. You know, I love you.
Right. Here's my feelings.
Yeah.
That's yeah. And, you know, I've learned that one is open with I love you. But I'll have to use that script. No, honestly, that's funny because my wife is so supportive of that particular part of my life. But the point stands. I am so enamored with this healthy expression that you're encouraging people to do.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, because like I said, it can be tough, but but that's what it's all about. It's all about that expression.
It's true. Nobody said it's going to be easy. And what do most people do when the other person, you know, you're not responsible for how the other person responds.
Right.
If she's not happy, but you go into it. I mean, this is why I teach live courses, because people have to really actually practice this and, you know, use models and role models and people role modeling together. Because why? Because what's the next thing? If she gets mad at you, what do you start to do? Oh my God, maybe I should. Oh God, I can't stand it when she does that. You know, I mean,
second guess and resent. And yeah, there's all sorts of stuff.
Exactly. But what happens really? What does she really want you to do as a man? What does she really want?
She really wants me to first of all, tell her I love her and then also follow my passions, probably.
Well, absolutely, because how many relationships like don't have respect?
Yes.
You know, if you love someone and you have no respect, then guess what?
The respect.
You don't have a lot going on there.
That's exactly right. That respect.
That's it. Yeah. Respect. Oh. What I need. Yeah. Anyway.
I love it. Well, this is Life Vision Month. Before we wrap here, how about some final words for people who are trying to craft their life vision and their dream life? What should they be focusing on?
Yeah, again, let go of the how, focus on what it is you want to create. You know, allow yourself to dream big. Don't censor yourself. Be like a little kid. You know, when you ask a little kid, can you think about your passions? They don't go, oh, I don't think I could do that. You know, no. You know,
yeah, totally.
Ask yourself, right? Ask yourself, if the world was my oyster, if anything was possible and money was no object, what would I choose to do in my life? And think about all the different areas of your life. You know, what would you love to do and get paid for? Who would you love to spend time with? Where would you love to work, to live, to visit? What would you love to learn? How would you love to feel in your body? What would you love to have that you don't have now? You know, think about all these questions, you know, and really get clear. Again, remember I said clarity is power. I remember when I first, Jordan, I wrote the passion test. I wrote the ebook first. That was the very first thing I did. I wrote the ebook to the passion test. And after I wrote the ebook, I was sitting down one day and I was reading it and I realized that I was a fake. I was absolutely not living.
You had the imposter syndrome? You weren't living your own passion?
No, I I was only living the things that I knew how to create. See, living your passion is about it's not about the how, it's about the what. I was trying to figure out the how all the time. So I sat down one day and I went, okay, I can't be a fake man. I can't stand this. I got to live with myself. You know, I take me wherever I go. So I sat down and I wrote it out. When my life is ideal, I am. And then the next thing I wrote was spending time with the enlightened.
Mm.
And I looked at that. And why I wanted to do that was because I told you in the very beginning, I used to travel with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and the founder of the Transcendental Meditation Movement. And it was so much fun. Everything was so fun. Everything was so clear. Everything was just so lovely.
Wow.
And I just felt like the energy always was really high. And I want to feel that same energy. And I was getting to, you know, I was starting to be concerned about the world and the world situation. So I wanted to ask them, you know, what are the secrets to being happy? What do you think about what's going on right now in the environment, et cetera, et cetera? And so I set up all these interviews with all these masters. And I thought, well, let's see, I'm a 5-star girl when I'm not in an ashram. So I decided to have a tour before I went to do the interviews with all these masters. And then I found out that my stepmother was in the hospital. And I had 15 women coming to India with me at the time. My stepmother, I found out, was in the hospital. And immediately my passion changed. And I thought, you know, I talked to the doctor. He said she has 6 months to live.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, there's no way, I've got to be with her. I'm the one. I've got to be with her. So I canceled everything, canceled the passion, canceled the interviews, canceled the tour, and went and stayed with her in San Diego. And it was just the sweetest, sweetest time. And while I was spending time with her, one of my friends had emailed me and she said, Annie, there's this really great yogi. He's 2 hours away from you. I was in San Diego and he was in Orange County. And she said, he's probably someone you want to interview. And I thought, my mother had just, Jordan, slipped into a coma.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I didn't think, yeah, she was not going to be around very long. And I thought, God, I really want to know if there's anything cool I could do for her while she's, you know, before she passes. And so I called this master up, and that my friend emailed me about, and he gave me all of this cool stuff to do.
Wow.
So I ended up talking to him. And at the end of the conversation, he says, and he doesn't speak English. He spoke Gujarati. So he's talking through his translator. He says, tell Janet that there's a 99% chance I'm coming tomorrow to visit her stepmother. And I said, but I'm 2.5 hours away. And the translator tells him that. And he says, well, 99.9% chance I'll be there. I'm at my master's birthday and it will be going all night, but 99% chance I will be there tomorrow at 9:00. And I'm like, oh my God, you know? And when I wrote my passion, which was really cool, I wrote, when my life is ideal, I'm spending time with the enlightened.
Right? There you go. I'm like, wow.
Let me tell you, 9:00 in the morning, down the driveway, I'm outside. My brother's outside. I called him up. You got to come. You got to come. You got to see this. And there walks out this yogi with this, like, amazing, you know, this, the white dhoti, you know, the stick that they hold.
Right.
Those shoes that
he's decked out. He's yogied out.
Yeah. And carrying a dozen long stem roses and dozen yellow roses. And he walks in and he hands the roses, you know, to my brother and I. And there he is, visiting my stepmother. And I am like, you're kidding me. And when he leaves, he said, do you know why I've come? And he stayed about an hour. And I said, and he spoke to his through his translator. I said, no. He said, it wasn't because of you. He said, when I came, it was because when you told me about your stepmother, I felt she may have been my mother in a past life. Gets in the car and drives away. I am like, shut up. You know, and okay, so fast forward, stepmother dies. And what happens? She leaves me enough money to go to India for, you know, I went back and forth 3 times and got to do, you know, not only I wrote it in the Passion Test book, the whole story, but a whole movie, a 1 hour movie. So, you know, you don't have to know the how, you just have to know the what. Remember, all I wrote was, when my life is ideal, I'm spending time with the enlightened.
Wow.
What happened? Even when I canceled the trip, the enlightened came to me. So you guys, just be your own test tube. You know, don't doubt yourself. Doubts are like big brick blocks. Just go for it. And you see yourself that when you follow your passion, then everyone gets to benefit from you living that very cool life.
Yes. I love it, Janet. I love it so much. Thank you so much for sharing all this with us today.
You're welcome so much. It's been so fun to be with you. Thank you.
So I'm sure my listeners are wondering where they can find out more. Can you give us a URL for your books or your work, or where can we find you?
Yeah. For the Passion Test, it's just simply www.thepassiontest.com. And for Mastery of Self-Love, it's support@thepassiontest.com.
Love it. Everybody check it out. This was so pleasurable. I hope that we've given you some great strategies and principles to help you craft your life vision as we wrap up the year here. I look forward to serving you into 2020 across all the 12 categories and bringing you much more great podcast content coming your way for Lifebook members only. Janet, one more time, thank you so much for being here today. This was a real pleasure.
Oh, my love to you.
All right, everyone. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Podcast.